Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're talking with a man today. His name is William Anderson. We're going to be talking about the Anderson Method. Now, I purposefully have not gone into a lot of detail about what this method is, but I'll tell you right now, if you've been battling the bulge and you go, I give up, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried the other, I think what Mr. Anderson is going to be sharing with us today, you are going to find very, very useful. William Anderson, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. I'm very happy to have this opportunity to speak with people on your show.
Well, I'm delighted. Your book was fascinating to me, and I want my listeners to know that you are the creator of Therapeutic Psychogenics. And you specifically orient this towards weight loss, and the reason this has become such a passion for you is that you battled your own bulge big time, and you have worked with hundreds of people, enabling them to become successful, and you said, I've got to write a book so that I can tell people what I've done and what has worked with so many of those that you have interacted with. You are also teaching these principles to other therapists, and the book enables Mr. and Mrs. whoever, if they want to know about this, they can pick it up, the Anderson Method. Do you mind if I call you William?
Please call me Bill.
Oh, great, Bill. Okay. Bill, I have in front of me a photo of you 25 years ago where you weighed over 300 pounds. You basically got rid of one whole person. And you said you started, you had a problem with obesity as early as the age of seven?
Seven was the first diet I was put on when I was 7 years old.
Wow. Amazing. Why?
Well, I wasn't an overeater at that point. I was just a good kid. I did what my folks wanted, and I cleaned my plate, and I was a good, healthy kid. And at that time, that's what they really pushed. And then one day, the doctor told my mother that I was too heavy, so they put me on a diet. And that's a horrible thing for a kid to be subjected to, particularly with all of a sudden you're faced with having to eat cottage cheese and a half a pear, and you can't have anything that you like to eat, and even at school they were clued in that I wasn't supposed to have any of the cake when the kids would have birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a horrible thing, and by the end of the first diet, I was on my way to becoming an overeater.
Let me just address this, because today in our world, there is an attitude which I think is really mixed up. And they're saying it's okay to put kids on real strict diets when they're young. And I don't agree with that, because I think when a child is growing, I think there's moderation. I do see obesity, don't get me wrong. But I also see the fact that the kids aren't walking anywhere. They're not, they don't have to do anything. And when I was growing up, you walked everywhere. And it was no big deal. But we have a society today that has really become very, very distorted. And you go into any bookstore, which I was in one earlier today, and you've got 10,000 books on dieting. And I just know, because I was put on my first diet when I was 5 years of age, and I was not overweight. I really wasn't. But it was a mentality that was present that my mother had, and it started a major, major patterning that went on for most of my life. And even when I wasn't in any way overweight, I would see myself as fat in a mirror. So I'm sure you had a similar patterning to a degree. And once you get those thoughts in your head, it's really tough to get them out.
It sounds like you had exactly what happened to me. We were conditioned to become overeaters at an early age and to think of ourselves as fat. And you're absolutely right. That mindset brings about a reality that is self-perpetuating. And, you know, with the kids today, it is a terrible problem. We have a childhood obesity epidemic where the obesity rate in children has quadrupled in the last 30 years. And then they put them on diets and make them worse. The problem is that we have a system that is promoting overeating and really kind of exploiting the children in order to market foods. And then we have a lifestyle that's very sedentary. So I
mm-hmm.
think you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's really sad because I look at the adults even that are in the patterning. When you see a whole family where mom is close to 300 pounds, dad is close to 300 pounds, and you have 6, 7, 10, 12-year-olds that are huge. And you find, if you ask the questions, the kids are not involved in sports. They maybe will be involved in video games. There's patterns. But we're going to get into that because of what you're talking about. And I have such an empathy for anyone because it has been something I've been through. So that's why I appreciated your material as you presented it. Now, let's talk about being just overweight and then clinically obese. There are people that are overweight. They might be 15 pounds overweight. But there's some of these charts that are out there that some people, if they tried to get down to the weights on those charts, it's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. How do you determine what is the right weight for someone?
Well, it's you know, it's really a personal matter. Most of us don't need a chart to tell whether we weigh more than we know is reasonable or healthy. And you're absolutely right about the charts today with the BMI charts. They have, I was just speaking with someone yesterday, a gal 5'5". The BMI chart has her overweight at 136 pounds. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a kid, we were shown a different measure, which was the ideal body weight. In fact, I remember a doctor once one of the many times I was told you have to lose weight, and of course I wanted to lose weight. I felt terrible about it, and I was I think 270 pounds at the time. And the doctor said, "Well, what weight do you think you should be?" And I said, "I think 200 would be pretty good. I'm about 6 foot tall."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "No, you have to be 180." And that's just crazy. 200 is would be very, very healthy for somebody who was 270.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think those measures, the charts, have values. But I think that if we use them to measure what is acceptable for a human being to be or what is unacceptable, that's an inappropriate use of it. And if a person is unhappy with their weight, we need to look at whether it's an unhealthy weight or a healthy weight and determine what their goal is and whether that's an unhealthy weight or a healthy weight. That's the main measure. And in clinical practice, as you probably know, in order for something to be a disorder, there has to be suffering involved. So that's the main measure of whether a weight is unhealthy or not. Is it causing problems?
Speaking to that one word of the problem, you say we need to know that if we're dealing with excess weight that we're wanting to trim off, that we're not alone, number one. and that we can take that positioning of personal responsibility and get out of the diet hamster wheel and to focus on what's going to work for us. I had a guest on a show that said most people that go on dietary programs, extreme diets, the return to excess weight is like 85% with most people, and then they actually end up putting on more. I think of, like, who is it, the actress, Kirstie Alley?
Oh, it's a tragedy.
And she is such a beautiful woman, and she had really trimmed down nicely. And I was reading something about her not too long ago, and she was just heartbroken, and she has ballooned up in weight, and so now she's going back on a regimen again to be able to trim down because she's miserable. She's got all kinds of things that have gone wrong.
Yeah.
And this is what happens more often than not.
Well, I know it happened with me several times because the so-called experts think that dieting is what's going to help you. And, of course, the way people approach it is that dieting is something you do for a while to lose weight, and then you go back to normal. But, of course, what normal is for them is what made them overweight. So we have to change what's normal. And rather than dieting, we need to learn how to eat. And instead of trying to do without what we like to eat, that's exactly what we need to learn how to eat, because we are going to return to what we like eating. And you're absolutely right about the dieting. It is a cause of the problem. It's not a solution. And the approach that I use helps people to develop habits, automatic, unconscious habits, hopefully that bring about a change so that it becomes normal for them to do what it takes to maintain a proper weight. And dieting, the results of dieting are actually worse than you had referred to. It's more in the vicinity of 95 to 97% of people who return to their former weight and more. Because
oh, wow.
The dieting actually conditions us to have worse habits than we had before we started.
Let's look at some of the cognitive behavior therapy. You abbreviate it to CBT.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your clients said it was like doing a type of brainwashing. Tell us what that is.
Well, cognitive behavior therapy, cognition, of course, refers to thoughts, and this deals with changing the way we think in order to get a different result. It's a simple idea. The way we feel, the way we act is a result of the way that we think. And we actually brainwash ourselves into becoming overweight when we will say things like, no matter what I do, I gain weight. I used to say things like that all the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's hopeless. You know,
mm-hmm.
Whatever I do, I gain weight. I gain weight just by looking at the food and things like that. And now those are irrational, crazy thoughts if you really stop and look at it. If a person eats less, they're going to lose weight, period. There's no possible way in the physical universe you can eat less calories than you need and not lose weight. And nobody is destined to it or made to be overweight. You know, just like all the other animals, our bodies are constructed in a way with our framework, skeletal design and organ systems to support only so much weight. So it's very natural for us to become very overweight. And to think that I was born to be overweight is an irrational, crazy thought. But if we say it enough, we begin to believe it, and then actually unconsciously, it's almost like a form of self-hypnosis, we start to do the things that cause that to occur. And with cognitive behavior therapy, what we want to do is examine those irrational thoughts and get some reason involved there and change them so that we have a different script that we tell ourselves so to speak, a different self-hypnosis. And it does bring about a change in our behavior, and people aren't even aware of it. When they call it brainwashing, of course, it's not me brainwashing my clients. It's me teaching my clients to brainwash themselves. But they experience changes almost immediately that cause them to lose weight, and they're amazed.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk about something that I personally have seen affect people. In fact, there was a supervisor that I had when I was working many years ago. Her name was Peggy. Peggy was about 5'2". She must have weighed easily 300 to 350 pounds. This woman was put through so many diets. She was even put in a hospital on a water diet. She gained 10 pounds while she was there. This woman would sit and cry. She just didn't know what to do. And obviously, a lot of what she ate had to do with this. But when she tried to cut back or she wouldn't eat, she had lesser calories, the weight wasn't going off. And so you address this in your book, because fat people don't necessarily eat a lot more than somebody else is eating. What is it with the body that causes them to keep that weight on, even with a lesser amount of food?
Well, the weight that we measure with a scale is all of the matter that's contained within your skin. It is your muscle, fat tissue, bones, blood, water, and our bodies are 70% water. So mainly it's measuring water. Now, our water balance can go up and down dramatically, 10 to 20 pounds, depending upon the water retention of our body. Now, that's not a long-term situation, and we can get thrown by paying too much attention to that manipulation of the water balance of our body. When we look at a situation where somebody who is thin looks like they don't eat any different, it can be very, very frustrating. I remember I used to look at my friends, and they seemed to eat all the stuff that I ate, and they didn't gain weight, and I did. But it's a little confusing, because our weight gain usually occurs over a long period of time, cumulatively. And our caloric balance doesn't have to be too out of whack. In other words, a person 5'2" would have a metabolic rate of around 1,600 calories. And it doesn't matter really whether she's at her ideal body weight or whether she's 300. There's still going to be a metabolic rate of around 1,600 to 1,800 calories, something like that. Now, if our balance is a little out of whack, we're going to start gaining weight. And a little out of balance is not a great deal. For instance, if you were maintaining your weight at 5'2" and 120 pounds automatically, and then you add something as benign as a glass of orange juice to that habit, you're going to gain, over a year's period of time, maybe 20 pounds, maybe 100 pounds over 5 years, just by being out of balance a little bit. So the way a person eats doesn't have to look too much different than a way a skinny person eats. It's just a little out of balance. And we pay a terrible price by looking at an overweight person and assuming they must eat twice or three times as much, and in fact, they may be eating less than the thin person because they're not as active. They're not able to be as active.
True. That's very true. And that is something that I have seen over and over and over again. And someone will say, well, I don't understand. They must have a metabolism that's burning everything up. Well, I've known people that could sit down and eat a box of chocolates, but my goodness, this person was running up and down 13 flights of stairs
right.
every single day. They were doing, and they were using it. They really were using the fuel. If you're going to go and climb Mount Everest, you have to consume like 20,000 calories a day because you're in the cold. And you are, you know, you're working. Your body is using that fuel to survive. I've known of people that worked up on the North Slope in Alaska. They didn't ever worry about what they ate because they were working so hard. But then when they went to a desk job, just what you've said, they put on 50, 60, 100 pounds, and they say, I don't understand. Well, they were eating the same volume of food, but there wasn't the activity.
You're absolutely right. This happens with a lot of us who have an active lifestyle when we're kids, maybe in high school and college doing sports.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't realize it, but we're out there 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day burning thousands of calories more than a person who's sedentary. And, of course, we develop the eating habits to support that. And then you get a desk job, and your eating habits don't change. So absolutely, it's not uncommon at all for an athlete, when they graduate, to put on 50 or 100 pounds, and everybody thinks they must have some terrible disease, and no, that's not what it was. They graduated.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, let's talk about 6 behaviors of the successful under-eater, and I'm looking at a photo of a lovely woman, Renee Carter, and Renee looked almost as wide as she is tall, and then there is a picture of her, and she is petite. Maybe I'm wrong, but to me she appears to be a petite woman, and she's just as slender as she can be.
She looks like a runway model now.
Yes, she does.
Just a beautiful person and very happy. She's another one of us who was thoroughly confused about why is this happening to me when she was gaining weight, and she is just thrilled to find out how to solve the problem. So very, very happy. You were talking about behaviors of an
mm-hmm.
under-eater. As I was saying, that rather than diet, what we want to do is to develop habits or a lifestyle of eating the foods that we like in a way that causes us to achieve what we want. So rather than taking on the grand American style of trying to get as much as you can for the buck, not leaving anything on the plate, we want to gear ourselves more to eating less than we need of the foods that we like. And it sometimes seems like, well, how can that be? It's really not that difficult if you know how to do it. One of the principles that we use, because this is a behavioral approach, is that we want to model the behavior that causes the body type or fitness that we want to achieve ourselves. And the best way, the most scientific way to do that is to study people who have been successful. And there is a study, an ongoing study. It's the largest longitudinal study in the world, as far as I know, of successful people who have lost weight. It's called the National Weight Control Registry. It's conducted by a combination of Brown University and University of Colorado and Merriam Hospital. And I happen to be one of the study subjects. There's only 150 people or men in the country who are part of this, 600 women. And they have identified what are these things that successful people do, regardless of whether they did it themselves or went through a program. And modeling that behavior can be very, very productive in terms of creating success. So one of the first ones is conscious eating. It's a simple matter of being aware of what you're putting in your mouth. And it's actually kind of opposite of what we have used for a defense mechanism so that we don't feel bad, which is kind of closing our eyes and trying not to know what it is that we're doing that gets us in trouble. So we want to turn that around, and rather than ignoring the realities about the food that we're eating, we don't want to put anything in our mouth unless we know how many calories it is. In the same way that a person who is allergic to peanuts, they're not going to put anything in their mouth unless they check it out. And that's what we want to do. And we don't want to eliminate anything. There are no bad calories in my book, except Brussels sprouts, maybe. I eat everything I like, but I make sure I know what I'm doing. So this very conscious eating is one of the most important things, and I think it is most demonstrated with what they call the most common behavior of successful people, which is tracking their calories, you know, keeping a log. Not necessarily a journal where you're writing down, you know, your feelings and all that stuff, but simple counting so that you know what you're doing rather than walking around in the dark. And this has a number of very powerful benefits that come with it, because you immediately start realizing that even though you felt guilty about eating what you like, your eating is really not that far out of line with what your caloric needs are. They may be a little bit out of line. And usually there's not that much correction that needs to occur in order to correct that. And then another thing that happens is that people are just amazed when they find out what the caloric contents of the foods are that they're eating. They find out a lot of the things that they've been told are healthy and they should eat are just loaded with calories, and they didn't even like them to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of the things that they've been made to feel guilty about eating, like potatoes or pasta, really aren't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So this conscious eating of finding out what's in the food rather than purposely ignoring it is one of the most important ones.
Also, you have an attitude about snacking, and there's some other things in your book, Cultivating the Undereater's Habit. You also say undereating during the week and eat just about anything somebody wants on the weekends so that you're not feeling deprived. But you also talk about the self-talk. You bring that out. You said, say things like, I'm becoming whatever weight you want to become by under-eating every day. I know I'm winning every day because I under-eat and know my calories. You also talk about creating new patterns in the thinking process. We need to know what the bells are that activate the compulsion to eat. And there's just so much material, good material, that I think you're presenting in your book, The Anderson Method. Now, is there a website that people can go to? I know we're running out of time here. Is there a website
really?
People can go to find out more about your book and your pattern?
Absolutely. I have a website, www.theandersonmethod.com, theandersonmethod.com. And if you just Google The Anderson Method or Google William Anderson LMHC, you should be able to find me. And there's quite a bit of information there. There are some videos, news stories that have been done. There was a television news anchor in town who lost 70 pounds on the air with me and just created a hubbub in Sarasota and swamped me. I've had a waiting list for over 3 years, and it was her report holding up the textbook that people use going through my program that really precipitated the writing of this book that you have.
Well, I think it's marvelous. And for those of you listening, the book again is The Anderson Method. You can go to the AndersonMethod.com website and go through it. But what this does, it puts you in the driver's seat. You're not dependent on a powder, a pill, or something else. It enables you to realize that you're the boss. You're the one in charge. And I think that it takes away a lot of the myths that so many of us have been indoctrinated with. William Anderson, or rather Bill, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Well, thank you, Donna. It was an absolute pleasure. And I really appreciate the way that you have understood and seen the value in my work. It's what I live for.
Congratulations, and may you continue to be successful. William Anderson, The Anderson Method. Check it out. I think you'll be pleased. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Here is the toll-free telephone number. It is 888-815-9756. I know we've got a caller waiting. I'll be getting to that caller in just a moment. That's 888-815-9756. And if you've never called in before, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. After that, I'll give you my insights, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Also, for those of you in Western Washington, I want to let you know that I am going to be doing an appearance at the Boeing Parapsychology Expo. Now, this is a semi-annual event on Saturday, September 26th, I'm going to be appearing there at their event, and I will be a speaker as well as being available for many consultations, and I'm going to have buku books there as well. I have to purge my library, so I'm going to be bringing it in, and you have an opportunity to have access to it if you so desire. So if you have any questions about it, give me a call. I'm going to be putting all the details and information in the newsletter, which will be coming out by the 1st of September. And then also you can go to the Boeing Parapsychology Expo website and you can find out a lot of details there. It will be held in Kent, Washington at the Kent Commons facility. All right, let's go to our first caller for the day, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Annie, and I'm from Alaska.
Annie from Alaska. Where in Alaska? Well, my second favorite place in the world. Where are you in Alaska, Annie?
I'm in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Fairbanks. Boy, I'm going to be up there in October. I'm going to be
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm going to be making a trip into Alaska. You'll check my website. I'll be having the exact dates probably within 2 weeks. But it more than likely...
That's really cool.
Yes, I'll be coming up there, and I'll be in Fairbanks for a couple of days, and then I'll be going to Anchorage. Oh, yes, Alaska's been one of my favorite places in the world. I just think it's a fabulous place. But let's get down to business with you, Annie. First thing that I'm looking at with you is you are going to need to really gird yourself up because you've got a lot of work that needs to be done. There is a real need for you to have someone that I think can mentor you so that you stay on track. It's as if I'm getting an image of an athlete training. I am looking at someone that has to do certain things every single day. You can't miss it. You can't make any excuses. It's your responsibility, or maybe you're, you know, you might be involved in school, but there is something that's very important to you. So being disciplined and following through and doing what needs to be done, and if you have somebody that can, again, support you, when you sort of get down in the dump, somebody you can talk to that's not going to put you down and can say, hey, look at all the little things that you've accomplished. Take pride in what you are achieving, even though there's these little tiny baby steps that you're having to go through. Just take it one day at a time and go for that objective. It's going to require, again, dedication, perseverance, persistence, patience, and you're going to have clarity in your thinking. And it is making such a difference for you. So I am looking at a patterning of this type going on for 4 to 6 years. Now, that's not meant to be discouraging. It just means that this is what your commitment is. So I want you to know that you're not getting off, you're not going to get lost, you're not going to be floundering around like a wet fish out of water. You are going to be able to meet your objectives, but it does take that consistency. And money is going to be sort of up and down for you. Apparently, you're concerned about certain economic areas in your life, and I want to say again, an investment in yourself is going to reward you handsomely. You have to look at the bigger picture, not just the smaller picture. Are you still with me, Annie?
Yeah, I'm just cutting in and out, but I heard it.
Okay, I'm hearing a lot of background noise with you. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay, well then you're in a place where I'm hearing other people's voices coming in through the cell phone. What question did you have for me, Annie?
What?
What question did you have?
What do you see in my move to California?
All right. Why are you going to California? Is it for education or work?
It's for opportunities and for sports.
All right. Again, it's going to be the right thing for you to do. It's not a bad choice. You've got a tremendous amount of dedication that has to be done and has to be put into this. What's your goal, Annie? Because when I look at this intensity and commitment, what are you trying to achieve?
A sports scholarship for either volleyball or basketball, and just to get a good education so I can get a good job along the way.
Well, you've got your hands full. Do you have anyone that is going to be able to mentor you while you're in California?
Yes, I'm going to be living with my older sister.
Great. Well, what I would say to you is, if you've got the opportunity to get a scholarship, and if you're going to be with your older sister, you need to sit down and really have a good conversation with her and find out who the top coaches are and make a commitment and tell her you're going to need her support and maybe some other people. I wouldn't rely on your sister so much because I think she's got her hands full. I think your sister is really, really working hard. And so her time and attention that she's going to be able to give you is going to be on the lesser side, not on the major side. So you need to have some people that are really knowledgeable about the sport. And I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that your body is a very sophisticated machine, and it needs to have good nutritional supplementation as well as good training patterns so that you don't end up causing damage or causing rips in muscles. So you need to be in the environments of people that have an understanding about that and that will support you so that you are going to get to that level of skill and refinement, because you're going to have a lot of competition.
Okay.
But you can do it. But it's well worth it. And if you're going in to acquire a master's, if you're wanting to be a coach in sports, if you're wanting to do something, you're in the right place with California. Where in California are you going? Southern California?
Yes.
Good. Yes, you've got a lot of good support there, but you're also going to have high levels of competition, but also a lot of people that are going to be a lot flaky. It's just what goes with the turf. So remember, you're the one that's in the position of responsibility and choice. I think it's going to serve you very, very well.
Okay.
How old are you, Annie?
You're so right.
Annie, how old are you?
I'm 16 years old.
You're 16. And you take care of yourself. Let me share something with you. There's a there's a family that my husband and I have known for many, many years, and they have a daughter, and she was really skilled at volleyball. She ended up getting a full scholarship to a school in New York. And she is the volleyball captain of the team. And she is good. She is really good. She absolutely loves the sport. And it's something that those sports scholarships, you also may need the assistance of someone that really understands how to apply for those scholarships. So you need to enlist the assistance and aid of people that understand the value of those scholarships and what it takes to get them. And this young lady, she's now into her junior year in college, and she's just doing phenomenally. She's even been able to go overseas and do some classes overseas. So you are at the... Yeah, it is. So I just encourage you and just want you to remember one thing. You must respect your body and your mind so that you are the boss. And work with those people, and I know I've said this more than once while I've been talking to you, work with those people that have the right kind of attitudes. It's not just the winning attitude. It's the attitude of taking care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually.
Yes.
Well, good luck to you, and be sure you give me a call back and let me know how you're doing.
I definitely will. That was awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Annie. And tell your friends about the show.
I will.
Take care, my dear. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. What a wonderful opportunity that young lady has in front of her. She's going to have to really work hard for it, but it is terrific. I wish her the best. We're taking a break, and the phone line is open for you at 888-815-9756. That's the worldwide toll-free number. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. By the way, I understand that someone did try to call in earlier, and when I'm doing an interview during the first half of the programming, it's not going to be possible for you to be able to chat with me on the air because obviously I'm focused on my guests. So just remember, you can call in at the bottom of the hour, and anytime between that and just before I go off air, which is 5 minutes to the top of the hour, and you will be able to reach me. So when you can call in right at the bottom of the hour, that gives you an opportunity to have more time with me and to chat more. By the way, I have got a super neat recipe for a taco beer can chicken. Yeah. So get yourself a pad of paper and a pen, and I'm going to share this with you, and it's going to surprise you a little bit because I thought a taco beer can chicken. Okay, what's so different about this? And I'll be sharing that with you in just a moment. So get that pad of paper and pen so you can do that. I wanted to quickly share some information that came across my desk. And I don't know about where you live, but where I am, we have to be attentive to the neighborhood. Sometimes there are those undesirable elements that decide that they are going to make a visit to your residence or your place of business, and you would just as soon not have them drop in because they usually are going to take out just about everything you've got. And this is some information that's about people that are burglars, and this was material that was written up by some burglars in North Carolina, Oregon, California, and Kentucky. This is some of their comments. Of course, they're sitting in jail right now, but they were very happy to share their tips to make you a little wiser. He said, remember, I may look familiar to you because I might have been here just at your place last week cleaning your carpets, painting your shutters, or delivering your new refrigerator. So, and this is, I'm not meant to promote fear in you. It's just meant to make you aware. Also, the burglar said, thank you for letting me use the bathroom when I was working in your yard last week. While I was in there, I unlatched the back window to make my return a little easier. So one of the things that can happen is that if someone does come into your place and you do have a window in your bathroom, then you might want to double check, make sure that it is locked. Also, if you have beautiful gardens, they know that you're a person of taste and you've got nice things not only outside, but also on the inside. And the yard toys the children leave out always make a burglar wonder what type of a gaming system you have. Interesting ways that the mind of the criminal will work. Also, they look for newspapers piled up on the driveway, those tags that are left on the door. They want to see how long it takes those things to be moved, to be removed. And do you have, you know, the mail in the mailbox? What, they'll even check that. Also, if it snows in your part of the country, when you're out of town, be sure to have a neighborhood create a car and foot track into the house, because when snow drifts into the driveway, and it's just there, and there's never a pattern of showing any activity, then they say, ah, somebody's gone away maybe for a couple of weeks. And if decorative glass is part of your front entrance, don't let your alarm company install the control pad where a burglar can see it if it's set. Makes it too easy to figure out how to get into your place. Also, they said a good security company alarms the window over the sink and the windows on the second floor, which often access the master bedroom. And, of course, most people have their jewelry and their personal items in the master bedroom. And the burglar said it's not a bad idea to put motion detectors up there, too. And if it's raining, you're fumbling with your umbrella, and you forget to lock your door, that's understandable, but burglars don't take a day off because of bad weather. Also, they will knock first, and if you answer, they'll ask for directions somewhere, offer to clean your gutters. Don't take people up on that. Be very thoughtful. And remember, find jewelry items in the sock drawer. Burglars always check the dresser drawers, the bedside table, and the medicine cabinet. They usually don't like to go into kids' rooms. They don't have time for that. And they won't break into someone's safe, but if it's not bolted down, they usually will just take the safe with them and undo it later on. And it's a good idea to leave a television or a radio on at a pretty loud level, because that's better as a deterrent. They sometimes cannot tell if someone's casing an area. They can't tell if there's actually people in the house or if it's the television that's on. So they said if you don't like leaving your television on while you're out of town, buy a $35 device that works on a timer and that simulates the flickering glow of a real television. And you can find that at faketv.com. I wanted to share those little tips with you because I think it's a good idea. We had a neighbor who had gone to church with his wife. They come home, they go in the front door. The front door, as they're unlocking it, is kicked shut. They realize there's a burglar inside, and they did not have a burglar system on their house, and they figured out a young person that had come in, and when they talked to the police, they found out that there was a gang that was in the neighborhood run by adults, and they had been having major problems, and these young people were trained on how to hit and run a house, and usually they'd rob the people that they knew. If there had been a party at the house or something like that, they'd case the house, they'd teach them how to do it, and then they would leave the house. They knew their exit pattern, and they would run away, and they ended up getting away with quite a bit. But the police informed them that, yes, there was that kind of a group in the environment. So be aware. Contact your police department. Find out if there's anything that's going on in the area. But also, don't live in fear, but just be wise. Be wise and be attentive. It pays off. It really does. Of course, if you have a noisy dog, that can help too, unless they like steak. Anyway, the taco beer can chicken. The reason I threw that steak comment in is because I've heard of stories. I used to work for a police department where they would find out if the animals liked food or not, and they'd feed it to them. Then they didn't bark. Nobody ever knew that anybody was even in the house. Taco beer canned chicken. I found this recipe, and I said, this is good. Of course, anything spicy, I really like. But I thought this was really interesting. Now, don't worry about the beer part. Let me just give you the information. So here are the ingredients. You need one packet about the taco seasoning, your favorite, whatever brand is yours. You have a packet, and it comes to about an ounce of seasoning. You'll make up your own, however you want to do it. And a tablespoon of chopped fresh cilantro, a tablespoon of chopped fresh cilantro. You need 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 roasting chicken, and usually they weigh about 6 to 7 pounds, so that's 1 roasting chicken. You're going to want 1 onion cut into 8 wedges, 1 can of beer. Make it a cheap beer, the cheapest you can get, 1 can of beer, 12-ounce can. And then you might want to have something like cherry and grape tomatoes, some chili peppers and parsley, and just for garnish. That's what that's for, and that's optional. You don't have to have it. Now, this is what you do. You put your rack of your oven in its lowest position, and you remove all of the other racks, and you want to preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Remember, low rack in the oven, lowest position, preheat the oven to 350. Now, you take your seasoning packet, your cilantro, your oil. Take the seasonings out of the packet, obviously. Mix it in with the cilantro and oil and put that to the side. Now, with your fingers, you want to carefully separate the skin from the chicken breast, starting at the neck. And that's very easy to do. You just very slide because there's this very thin membrane that connects the skin to the meat of the chicken. And you want to tuck half of your reserved seasoning mixture over the chicken breast underneath the skin. And then you want to tuck half of the onion wedges under the skin in the areas near the thighs and the wings and rub the remaining seasoning over the chicken. And discard 1/4 cup beer from the can. Put the can in the center of the roasting pan, holding the chicken by the neck cavity. Put the chicken over the beer can. That's right, over the beer can itself until the can is inside the cavity and the chicken's upright. Don't spill the beer. And then roast it until it's done. It's about 1 hour and 25 minutes. You can tin it with foil if it gets too brown. And then remove the can once it's cooked from the chicken. Skim the fat from the pan. Serve the juices with the chicken. So good and so easy. And guess what? We are out of time. Yes. Sorry I had to rush that one. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on BBS. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.